You're listening to SBS News.
It wasn't a joyous time, 35-year-old Craig Anderson says of the birth of his now 2-year-old son.
You know, people say those first couple of weeks you just, you know, try and soak it up because it's the most amazing time in the world. But for us it was constant frustration, no sleep, not a lot of eating, and a lot of feeling like we were really inadequate as parents.
Those feelings, he soon learned, were symptoms of perinatal depression, a mental illness associated with becoming a new parent that affects 100,000 Australian families each year.
The anxiety for me was very specific. It was public places with my son. So any area where there was any type of crowds, any confined space where I didn't have an escape ready, I suffered pretty severely. So it was really, you know, it's quite physical. My guts would go. I would absolutely have a pain and butterflies everywhere in my stomach.
While perinatal depression and anxiety, or PNDA, is more commonly experienced by women, affecting 1 in 5, men are by no means immune. 1 in 10 new fathers are impacted by the condition. Data released this year reveals that 50% of fathers are not aware that they too can experience PNDA. Mr. Anderson says his diagnosis caught him completely off guard.
The initial reaction that I had to, you know, finding out that I myself had a postnatal anxiety problem was, number one, I didn't give birth. Number two, my hormones haven't been affected. How does this happen? You know, the idea that a bloke could suffer from, you know, postnatal depression or anxiety was really foreign to me. I couldn't believe it.
This week marks Perinatal Anxiety and Depression Awareness Week, and health experts and support groups are using the event to increase awareness and education on the issue. Mr. Anderson's diagnosis came months after his wife was told she was suffering from the condition. There has been minimal research into how one parent's experience of PNDA affects the potential onset of the other parent as a result. Obstetrician-gynecologist Catherine Austin says while progress has been made in recent years, there are still limitations.
We're very fortunate in this country that we are starting to have huge inroads into awareness of mental ill health, particularly in and around the perinatal space. But we have a huge way to go as far as recognition, education and training.
New data reveals the financial toll of PDNA. A report by PwC estimates the impacts of the illness in the first year alone total $877 million. Arabella Gibson is the CEO of support group the Gidget Foundation, which contributed to the research. She says the costs can be broken down by a variety of factors.
That's things like productivity losses through absenteeism, presenteeism, and of course care responsibilities and requirements as well. From there you've also got the health cost, which is $277 million, and that's made up of both primary care through hospital for the more acute situations, but also community and basic health costs as well.
Perinatal Anxiety and Depression Australia, or PANDA, says data taken from callers using its national helpline has revealed that 3/4 of callers found it difficult to adjust to becoming a parent, with just 1 in 3 opening up to their partner about their emotional well-being. It also found 1 in 5 callers were suffering for at least 6 months before seeking help. 34-year-old Yvette Mistakis knows what it's like to suffer in silence. During her pregnancy and in the years after the birth of her son, she was battling with severe perinatal depression. However, it wasn't until she contemplated taking her life, when her son was 2, that she realised she needed help.
I just snapped. I completely snapped in my mind. Like, I finally, after all these years, I just snapped and I was just mindlessly calculating, I'm going to go to the chemist, I'm going to get the most heaviest painkillers, I'm going to go to the bottle shop, I'm going to get the most alcoholic drink, I am just going to drown my sorrows, and if I don't wake up, well, I don't wake up. But my husband kept calling me, kept messaging me as I was on the way to do it, and something just, I don't know, there was some whisper or something inside of me that said, Yvette, you have gone through worse than this. You have gone through a lot worse than this. You have never thought about taking a life. You need help. And that's when I finally answered the phone call from my husband, and I said to him, you need to take me to emergency department. I'm not well. I'm ready to take my life. I'm ready to give up.
Ms. Moustakis was admitted to a psychiatric unit.
It was heartbreaking. It was really heartbreaking. But at the same time, my time in there allowed me to reflect with everything that happened, and that was probably the best thing for me to go there and take some time out.
One of the focuses of support groups and health experts this week is to raise community awareness and break down the stigma that gets in the way of people seeking help. The PwC report also highlights the need to target vulnerable communities. Among them are culturally and linguistically diverse Australians who, according to experts, can be less comfortable seeking mental health care because of language barriers, as well as a limited understanding of how to navigate the health system. Abby O'Brien, SBS News.